This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hog bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
New Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots, he scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to this week's edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official. Let's welcome in the guys right away, as we had sent out a tweet yesterday looking for some questions and got a little overwhelmed. So we got a lot to talk about today, so let's not mess around and welcome in the real talent of the show. Let's start with Mr. Rivers. How are you today, sir?
Good, man. I'm doing good.
Mr. Kimball?
Oh, fabulous, fabulous.
Well, let's man, you guys, are we awake? I mean, I know
we're going an hour earlier today.
I mean,
Kimby's trying to read over on his phone there, yeah. So that's why he's a little bit confused.
Yeah, we're having it's sort of a morning day because the man himself went down.
Yeah,
let
me tell you something. I was going to say, we got a lot to cover as far as people going down with the Blues roster. It seems like every few days we lose somebody, but man, we lost an iconic guy in the world yesterday, a man who probably supplied more locker room paraphernalia, pinups, inspired more young men to pursue their dreams than anybody, and that is the man himself.
Inspired him to do something.
The man himself. See, people are like, man, Jim, I didn't realize you thought so much of Fabry. Well, I do think a lot of Mr. Fabry, but golly, we lost we lost Fabry and Hefner in the same week. What is going on around here?
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll talk to the Fabry thing for sure. I mean, we're going to have to go in depth on that, but I don't, obviously Hugh Hefner's is an icon, as iconic as any male figure could possibly be ever in the history.
Well, and the reason, and for those of you out there who are like, okay, let's get to some Blue stuff, I got to tell you, we got to talk about Hugh first and only first, because in only Jamie Rivers fashion, as I'm driving in this morning, I get a text that says, if we want to talk about Hugh at all, I've got a great Hugh Hefner story. So my tweet back was, of course we are going to talk about Hugh Hefner. What do you got for us, Jamie?
All right, so I had the opportunity to cross paths with Hugh Hefner in my playing days, and it was out in L.A.
Opportunity,
yes.
You're always looking for opportunities.
The good fortune, we'll call it that. Long story short, I won't bore everybody. Over the course of the first couple of years of my career, I had cross paths with Dennis Rodman. And he and I
that's
became
a whole other story.
He and I became acquaintances, friends, whatever you want to call it. We would go out West Coast. We'd go hang out. He had a bar in the Anaheim area. And he had a house over there on Long Beach. So we would hang out sometimes and have some cocktails and talk about politics and North Korea.
Okay.
And so one night, Dennis and I were just finishing up at a local establishment as far as more beverages than food. And he received a phone call from somebody saying, hey, meet us over at the Beverly Hills Hotel. We're having a couple of cocktails. And I didn't think too much of it because he said, oh, Jimmy just called me and said, you know, whatever, come over. So we go over to the Beverly Hills Hotel and we walk into this little hole in the wall that they have in there, which Beverly Hills Hotel, if you've ever been there, like, it's this massive building. It's gorgeous. It's got all these things. And it has a couple of little hole in the wall, like lounges or bars that you can sit in. And so we walk in and I see James Caan is sitting there. And James Caan, famous actor for years back. And then I look to the left, and I can't really, my eyes won't focus properly. Maybe because of the cocktails, I'm not sure. But then when I get closer, I realize it's Hugh Hefner sitting beside James Caan, and they're sitting there with a bottle of scotch, and obviously they're old buddies, right? Like anybody who does the history of Playboy will realize that James Caan was great buddies with Hugh Hefner. So I walk over, and Dennis knows James Caan, and he knows Hugh Hefner, and introduces me, and so the conversation starts to flow right away, and we're talking about hockey. And I'm sitting there going, like hell do I want to talk about hockey right now? Like, I want to talk about the Grotto. I want to talk about how we picked the month, you know, the playmate of the month. I want to talk about this shit. How do you handle three girls at once all the time, Hugh? Like, you've got to have the mystery here solved. And so he pours, you know, James Caan actually pours us each a scotch, Dennis and I, and it's, you know, three fingers of scotch. And it's like straight up, and it was great. I mean, I'm not a scotch drinker, but you could have gave me friggin', you know, gasoline that night, and I would have drank it just because he was doing it. And so we had, you know, exchange a few stories, and I certainly heard some great stories about the Grotto, heard some great stories about Hugh's thousands of girlfriends over the years, and James Caan was able to speak about some of the parties that they had, talk about movie night at the mansion, and Dennis, of course, had some things to offer as well because he had frequented the mansion and frequented some of the young ladies that they were being discussed. And as we're sitting there, there's a couple of young ladies who come up to say hi to Hugh. And one of them happens to be Jenny McCarthy. And so
Just so happens to be
Jenny McCarthy. And so she and her friend, which don't know her name, sit down and they want to have, you know, cocktails with Hugh because she knows Hugh and James Caan and everybody. And I'm sitting there going, well, isn't this a son of a bitch? I'm sitting in Beverly Hills right now, you know, drinking scotch with all these people and the man himself, Hugh Hefner. And then lo and behold, Dennis gets another phone call and it's a mutual friend of ours, which is Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. And Tommy Lee's having people over to his house that night. He's like, well, just a small get together. So yeah. Now let me remind you guys. This is night before a game, okay? So now
hence
that
the morning skate. Yeah. Now we're back to hockey and how the morning skate came about.
But wait, it gets better, okay? It gets better. So we all leave, and of course, James Caan and Hugh Hefner stay there. They got their thing going on. They're not going to Tommy Lee's house. Like, give me a break, right? And so that was my, you know, my story with Hugh Hefner was I got to sit there, share a cocktail with him, and go over stories and meet some people, and then, you know, fast forward with the Jenny McCarthy thing is she ends up, her sister ends up marrying Dan Hino, who was here with the Blues.
Yeah.
And then obviously we have the family meets down in Chicago. That's where they're from. And I come out of the locker room and there they are, the whole family, you know.
The whole small
the
world.
Whole, and Jenny. Yeah. And it was kind of funny because we were like, you know, remember that that night, yada, yada, yada. Which there was nothing to it. There's nothing juicier than that. I wish there was, but there isn't.
That's plenty juicy for me.
And so that's my encounter with you, and you know, ended up at Tommy Lee's house for a little while.
Probably a whole nother show, right?
Cup of coffee. You know, we went over some of the politics again.
Straight from Tommy Lee's to the rink.
And then the next day, I have the game, and it's a game that I'll never forget. It was a great, great game. Go out and I got an assist and I was +2 and I thought, wow, I've solved all the world's problems here. I can do this every night.
Man, we have learned so much today. We've learned how we now understand the morning skate, like all the rumors, like why we have it.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. We also realized how you learned how to take your game to another level. And we've learned where you probably had to have learned how to drink Red Bull because there's no way you went straight from Tommy Lee's to the rink without Red Bull. Now, did you look at James Caan and say, look what you did to my boy.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? The Godfather came out. Like, it was just, after a while, like, at first you're nervous. Not because, you know, it's weird because you've seen this guy and Hugh Hefner, and it's just a weird feel. And then afterwards, you know, you get a couple of scotches deep, especially at three fingers, you know. We're, now I'm, like, imitating him. We're talking about different movies stuff.
I'm sure you're walking around going like this.
And, they were asking him about all the cast and crew from The Godfather and
Kimby, yeah. I've played about, I don't know, 100 rounds of golf with you. I've never heard any Hugh Hefner stories from you. What's the deal, bud?
I probably was in church when that was all going
on. Oh, boy. So. Now, hang on now. I've been out with you a few times. Here. Now, hang on. I've been out. I've barked at the moon with you a few times. I don't know that you made it to church the next day.
Bark at the moon. The problem is, Kimby would have had Rodman in a headlock 10 minutes into it.
Well, I said this yesterday, and it got a big response, but I've thought about this for a long time. So, you know, you go to Hugh Hefner's wake, right? I can only imagine the receiving line. How do you look at any of them and say, he's in a better place?
Well, let's
because he's not.
Let's make something clear. The receiving line during his lifetime was longer than the receiving line that's going to be
But you know
his
what I'm
place.
Saying? I mean, how do you look at Jenny McCarthy and go, he's in a better place? I mean,
oh, gosh.
No, but hey, a man that has inspired numerous hockey players, I would say at one juncture or another, you probably had some of his material in your locker.
Staples.
Hey, hats off. Should we do a 3 second moment of silence?
No, let's do a clap. It's a clap. Celebration in Hugh's life. Come on, right? Oh, my goodness. Right.
Okay, well, there's your... Hey, thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week.
Those are your hot
Those
topics.
Those are your hot topics of the day. No, we got a lot of Blues stuff to get to today.
Nothing big.
We want to... Let's take this opportunity, too, to welcome him. We have a special guest on the show. We're obviously very proud to be part of LineupMedia.fm, fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Make sure you check them out. The numbers will tell us that you like podcasting, so you're probably listening to about 6. Well, if you need your Blues fix, we're here to tell you that not only can you get us each and every week, won't be long, you'll be able to get us twice a week here at the Blues NHL podcast, but there's another podcast here at lineupmedia.fm, a little bit different, same but different. I guess that's a great way to describe it. This man is as committed as you are as a fan, and let me welcome in, from the drop, Lance Dascott. What's going on, Lance?
Hey
Lance.
Hey, thank you for the rounding reception there.
You had no idea. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys this, and I was wondering this too when you come in and said, Lance sends me this thing last night and says, hey, topics, you know, what do we want to talk about? And I said, I was very honest.
He was very honest.
I said, well, you know, Jamie kind of drives the bus, and, you know, he's extremely honest, which is great for our show. It's kind of surprising and refreshing that he's as open and honest as he is. He says, yeah, you know, it is. It's very refreshing. So yeah, I'm like, listen, just bring whatever you want to ask him and ask him. He says, okay. So I can only imagine his thing. He's sitting across from us, and I don't know, did you anywhere in your notes have Hugh Hefner, Lance?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Probably Rory Fabry.
Well,
but...
the way I looked at it is I know he loves the articles, and I didn't want to focus too much on that. So.
He's a big reader.
Yeah. Okay. Big fan of the advertising
Yeah, big of an advertiser. So, yeah.
Masterful advertising.
But the great thing about the drop, and if you're a podcast guy, and boy, your dedication is unreal. You do a recap of every Blues game.
Every single Blues game.
So you can, like when you subscribe, like we ask you to subscribe here, you would get a notification whenever he's got the show done. But the commitment level is unreal. So your Blues fandom obviously is second to none as well. So
sure. No, I moved out here from California. Southern California around Palm Springs.
Don't you move out there to California move in here?
That's what I told my parents years later.
Okay.
My mom's like, well, it's too damn hot out there. I said, well, it's too damn cold out here. Out there you wake up and it's hot.
Right.
It's sunny 350 days out of the year. So we moved out here and went to my first Blues game in 76 and went to almost every single Blues game because the company that my dad worked for got season tickets and they were right behind the goal.
Oh, okay.
So I got to see Mike Liut's first game. I got to see Brian Sutter's first game, Bernie Federko's first game, Darren Kimball's first fight when he was like 8.
His first fight was earlier than that when somebody took his milk money.
Hey, Kimby, are we bothering you today?
No, I'm listening.
You are. He's fucking glued to his phone like he's the president States here.
It's like my kid over there with Snapchat.
Like, we're not going to go the president route because I know we all know how Kimby feels about it. However... What the hell is going on today?
I'm just waiting. I'm enjoying. I'm learning about the new guest. I'm waiting for the Fabry shit to start. Let's get rolling.
You don't have any Hefner stats.
I'm worried about
I got
you.
Nothing but Hefner. I lived a boring life, man. I'm bored life.
Oh, boy.
I'm worried about you.
I sat in my room. I got ready for the games, and that's all I did. So let's roll.
Hey, I'm worried about you.
Oh, I'm
you're sitting there like that, glued to your phone. Like, I'm thinking we're going to get rolled when we leave the studio here or something.
Well,
All right, sorry, Lance. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was worried about my buddy over
here. That's all
right. All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about here today. We got lots of questions that have come in, lots of topics to cover. I can't really tell if Jamie's pissed or not today.
No piss today. More concerned.
Jamie's happy. Jamie's happy.
I don't know. I'm not happy. Concerned a little bit.
Jamie's concerned. Okay, we'll go with Jamie's concern today. That'll be the topic du jour today. But before we get right into some Blues talk, let's remind you, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can subscribe to the show. You can also listen to the most current episode or check out some back episodes as well. Follow us on our social media sites. We would be proud to have you as a member of our team there. Hit us up on Twitter. We are at STL Blues Podcast. Love for you guys to do that. We like the back and forth and some of the fun that goes around. I don't know if you guys out there have gotten the 280 characters. We did not. I don't know that we need any more than 140. Nobody wants to listen.
No, we need to limit you on the characters.
Well, there you go. Speaking of characters, Facebook, hit us up there as well. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like to have you guys a part of that as well. Going to jump into this Instagram foray. Our friend Jamie Rivers here might have some neat videos, pictures, and things like that. We'll keep it clean down at the rink when we talk about videos. Simply find us there, Blues NHL Podcast. And again, we are proud to be a member of lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. All right, guys, let's get into some Blues talk. You got your hand up there? Are you like in school or are you just stretching?
No, my hand has hurt me. My pinky doesn't work very well.
So. Well, that's what happens when you take a swipe at Kimball over there and you
Kimball
catch him in the
noggin. Bite it off.
Well, let's get knee deep in some hockey here. We had sent out yesterday that we had. We're going to take some questions because, you know, preseason means a lot of different things to different people. Obviously, a former player like yourselves probably looks at preseason a lot different than a guy like myself or even a guy like Lance who does a show and tries to analyze some of the players. A lot of the questions that came in centered around players. Let's go ahead and just attack the Fabbri thing.
I was going to say, how do we start without talking about Fabbri?
I mean, only because we got a lot in. And what's interesting is, and this is why you got to love Blues fans, the questions range a little bit, all from, you know, how does the team recover from this to, hey, man, can Fabbri, what's this mean for his career? A lot of people concerned for him. So,
how big is Kimball's hat, actually?
Well, that's a good – we got that. We got that. That was one of them. So, you know, being that Blues fans love their players.
How does he come up with that shit?
I don't know that it's right out there for him. So, I mean, I don't
– Well, it's right and all right.
Yeah, look at that one on your head, my friend.
I got the littlest head in the world. What are you talking about?
Kimmy, right. That would look like a thimble on your head. Come on now.
You couldn't get this over one of your ears, I promise you. Okay, so a lot of Blues fans are asking this question today. They're feeling for him, not just the club.
Oh yeah.
Second time. I mean, is this possibly career threatening?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's career threatening. Obviously, it can be. We don't know. You know, Army is supposed to talk today with Fabbri, press conference at like 10:15 or 10:45 or something like that, and I'm sure they'll address that question to the media because I'm sure the media is all over that. Now, the problem with it is, it can slow you down just because, you know, more than one surgery or more than one problem with that area. We've all seen several athletes that once the knees go, not once, but twice, and it's major and it's season ending 1 year, missing a season the next year, it's hard to get back to where you once were. And Robbie Fabry's a smaller guy. He relies upon his speed to create chances and create, you know, opportunities and play the game. If he, let's say, just one half a step slower, that might be career ending in a different way, meaning that he's not as useful and his career will be short. So never mind being injured and he can't play. It might be worse if he plays and he can't play the way he should. It might be a short career just as well at that point. So this is a tough time for Robbie Fabbri and the Blues because they're going to have a lot of questions. Did they come back too early? Was the therapy, was it done properly? Did he dedicate himself enough? Should they have really tried to squeeze him into a preseason game? Should they have waited? Should they have done this? You know, what if that? What if this? And it's, you know, there won't be a direct answer, unfortunately.
Sure.
You sit on Twitter and you see they compare it to Cam Neely in Boston.
Right.
It's not Cam Neely in Boston. Cam, they don't know that yet. Cam Neely in Boston, I was with Cam when that was going on. Cam couldn't get the things couldn't connect it. The recovery wasn't going right, and Cam kept trying to push it, and it wasn't – the recovery process wasn't – it wasn't healing the right way. And, you know, Cam was kept trying to go on, and the man on one leg was as good – better than some guys were. He just had a great year. So
God.
So we don't know where we're at that point yet. You know, as far as Fabbri, he's 21 years old. he's going to be tested here. So he's going to have to, this is, mentally right now, he's getting tested. So he's going to have to fight this through, and it's a pain in the ass going through rehab. We guys have been there. I've been there. It's just, you're sitting in a damn weight room all the time. You're getting therapy. You're trying to go there. You don't know what the outcome is. The fortunate thing is he's 21. Does it recover? Does he come back? He's going to have a fight when he gets back. He's not going to get into a one-way con. He's going to have to fight his way back up the ladder now. And so I feel sorry for him in that point. You know, that's the biggest concern right now, the gentleman himself. So, you know, you go through that. We'll see what the recovery is. We don't know where we're getting there. And as far as a Blues fan go, it's a sad point for Fabry, obviously. I think the other thing about it is with these injuries the Blues are going on, they're going to find out what these young kids are all about here real quick. And it's, you know, I watched the game against Pittsburgh the other night with some of them, and they got some good young talent sitting here. And they looked really good against Pittsburgh. But they're going to get tested. This is going to be a good sign for the Blues. They're going to say, well, we've had injuries. Let's go see what we can do. And I feel sorry for Fabry, but, you know, you put some prayers out there for the kid. Hopefully, mentally, that's the key to him right now, is mentally, can he keep fighting?
And you know, the Blues have a big decision to make, because this is his contract year. You know, what are they going to do with an injured guy?
Well, they'll qualify him.
Well, yeah, they'll qualify him,
and that's it. And there's no arbitration to be had. No, Robbie Fabry's just going to have to say thank you.
Yep.
And go about his business, because there's no long-term extent. I wouldn't even offer him more than a year.
I wouldn't either.
And they won't, probably, just because based on the severity of this injury and that it's happened twice consecutively, he'll get that one-year deal at the 10% raise that he's owed on it. And that's it. Take it or leave it. And he'll take it, because he's got no body of work in a year and a half to support anything that he wants to do moving forward. So he'll take that one-year deal. But, yes, it's really an interesting year for Robbie Fabry, because this is a make it or break it almost. Yeah. Because if he doesn't come back in good shape, if he doesn't come back the way he was, this will be his last one-way contract in the future. After that, teams will be like, well, we'll give you a PTO, see if you can handle the rigor of the season. And if you can, we'll reward you. But it won't be the 4, 5, 6 year deals that guys are getting. It'll be one year, maybe 2 years. It'll be one of those things as he moves forward.
And what he's doing right now, and the sad part about it is, so he's got to go through this process, and the Blues got a bunch of young kids sitting there ready to chomp at the bit. And, you know, they're going to come into this slot, and if they're successful, and hopefully they are, because it's going to make the Blues a better hockey team. These guys are going to they're going to be challenging, and the Blues are going to go, well, is the one-way contract coming here, or am I going to put the one-way contract on this guy? So then, you know, and I'm not being an ass by saying this, but, you know, he might have played his last Blues game, and because it's going to be a process where he's going to have to go out and find work now, and that's the unfortunate part of this sport. But, you know, it happens, and so that's what I said. Mentally, he's going to go through a lot of shit right now, and how does he come out on the other end is all up to that man now.
About 99% of the players in the league, you guys approach every training camp, every offseason that way. I mean, your spots are typically not guaranteed. Darren, you mentioned most of you guys have been through the therapy. What was your worst bout with injury?
No, I had a car accident, though, and I went and I screwed my hand up when I had a car accident.
And that's and that'd be no different than, you know, that your tools of the trade, basically.
Well, yeah, and that's what it was. And I was I fought, and you know, you're going through it. I had a chunk of skin missing. I had metal rods going through my hand and that. And the Boston guys are walking by me, and, you know, I'm on my last year of my contract, and they're going, well, who's this guy really, you know? And, you know, you're watching Ray Bourque and Otsi and all these guys, and, you know, they're hoping for you, but, shit, you don't see them until halfway through the year. But it's a mental. So my thing was, though, at the time when I was playing the game, if my hand was going to hold up, I was going to be all right, because that was my job. You know, there was a part in the game that included where a guy had to go out and, you know, fight. So if my hand held up, and I fought Rob Ray the very first game I played, and my hand held up fine, and I was on my way. So, but as we're talking about Fabry's got to, as Jamie preluded to earlier, you know, he's got to use his wheels. There's a different part to this game that we're playing now than I played.
Well, and injury too equals opportunity, like we've talked about already here. And I've been the benefactor of that in the past, where injuries have happened and it's let me get into the lineup or up higher in the lineup. And, you know, the Bill Belichick, what is it, next man up, you know, like, that's really what it is. And right now they've got a couple of really good young players up front with Costin, with Blair, with Thompson. These guys are chomping at the bit for that opportunity. And there's nothing saying that they're not equally as good as Robbie Fabbri. Maybe not right out of the gate, but 3 months from now, yep, they might be just as good, if not better. Who knows what the ceiling is for these players? And like you said, Kimby, like the Blues will have to move on, yep, just because they don't have Fabbri to put on the ice. And one of these guys leapfrogs them into that lineup, into the top six spot, then there's somebody that becomes, you know, yeah, available.
We're not talking to Mario Lemieux, and I'm not knocking the kid, but I'm just pointing out a fact. You're not talking Brett Hall, where Brett Hall is going to come back, and you're not going to find another Brett Hall. You know, Robbie Fabbri is a really good hockey player. I enjoy watching the kid play the game.
I love the way he plays.
But yeah, but there's in nowadays sport, there's in every sport, there's someone sitting there waiting to chomp at the bit, and now you got a guy that's been banged up a couple times, as opposed to a young kid coming. You know, you put your shoes in management spot. Where are you going?
Well, hang on here. Just to elaborate a little bit on that is, the game right now is getting so young every year, right? So if you're 25, people are like, we're gonna maybe go with a little younger guy, yeah, at 25. Imagine that, right? Like, exactly. It used to be like 35. They're like, he's kind of getting old. Yep. Now at 25, they're like, we need to get younger. Mm-hmm. So, just like you said, like, it comes to the end of the road here for Robbie Fabbri. They're looking at him going, hey, he's 24, 25, 23, whatever it is. But we have a 19-year-old or 20-year-old that's clipping at his heels right now. You know what? We can make this transition go younger, and that's three bonus years we have with this kid, yep, who we can make him just as good as Robbie Fabbri. So, you know, take care, Robbie Fabbri. Good luck. Give him the casino sign. Take care.
And, yep, and you know, when it comes to Fabbri, he's got a lot on the mental side of this too, because, you know, he's been hurt twice now. He gets out on the ice next year when he first starts skating. What's going through his mind? Is he afraid of getting hit? You know, is he just looking at it with, I may get hit in the boards again and my knee's even worse? In my mind, for a player like that that's been hurt like that, when he's promising in his first year and a half, he gets that first injury, comes back, he's ready to go, gets another one. You know, a lot of it is physical and getting back to training to where you need to be to get on the ice to be successful. But another part of that is mental. I mean, it's got to be mental.
Oh, it is, for sure. And for Robbie Fabbri, you know, he's not a player that is strictly perimeter. He likes to get to the net. He likes to crash the net. He likes to get in on the forecheck and hit a guy. And, you know, all these things when he's small in stature, you know, that's difficult as it is sometimes to do that, let alone with an injury. And just to touch on, like, what you said is absolutely right. Sometimes the training and the effort that it takes just to get back to where you once were, you're unable to do it. And that happens to injured players and older players. And I can tell you, and Kimby will probably agree with it, as I got older, it's not like, you know, you don't want to play anymore. It's not like you're getting worse. But it's harder every summer to put the work in to get to where you need to be to stay up to pace with the young guys, because, you know, your hands are sore, your wrist is sore, your shoulder's screwed up, your knees are screwy, your back is bad, you maybe had a broken jaw, broken nose, something, and you're like, it's affecting you. Every year something affects you more and more. And, you know, we're talking about when I got to, like, my 30s, and, you know, Robbie Fabry's just into his 20s, so imagine how that's going to affect him. There's a lot of work ahead, and I think the bright side of all this, and you guys may agree or disagree, but the bright side of this is we've got Costin, Blaze, and Thompson up front that are, I think, they're waiting in the weeds to get that opportunity.
The one that's good, that at this point with Fabbri going out, you've lost Reeves. They're missing a part here. You know what I mean? And so there's a role for Thompson with the size he's got that. I think this would sort of open the door a little bit more for him. I the Blues need something. They need size somewhere.
Yeah, they do.
And you know, this is hurting. This is another mucker grinder type guy that we've been wanting to, you know. So the Thompson guy is going to come up big right now.
Yeah, he's got to have that size, because every other NHL team has several guys that are 6'3" to 6'5" and 230 pounds.
Yeah, and just like, you know, Mike Yeo is trying to force feed Robbie Fabbri into a centerman's position. Mm-hmm. Well, now he doesn't have to force feed a smaller guy in there. He can take Tage Thompson, who, you know, may not be as huge physically as some of the other guys league, but he's got a reach. He's got a big size. Like, it's still harder to move the guy or get away from the guy down low. So that might be, in my opinion, a better transition for Thompson than it is for him to try and adjust to the wing and Robbie Fabbri trying to adjust to center. So this might actually work out as a better fit overall. And I'm not saying he's better than Fabbri, and we don't need Fabbri. We do, but we have to realize here that Fabry's gone for the year. He's gone, so we have to move on.
The other kid they had there, who, he got called up last year and scored a goal in his first game.
Wade Megan. He's the dark horse, yeah, baby. Yeah, that's right. You know what? I should have wrote him down. I didn't. But, yeah, he's the dark horse. Yeah. Well, he's putting in some good work. The coaching staff likes him.
Berube, too, so.
Berube knows him, yeah. And he was, I believe he was top scorer on the team last year in Chicago. And you're right, he came up, scored a goal, and he's been nothing but impressive so far through training. He's a guy, I think, that gets a chance. Yeah. I think he gets a chance, I swear to you.
Yeah, he definitely should.
Interestingly enough, I think the debate, I don't know if it's a debate or not, and I think our friend Lance may have addressed an issue that may make this a moot point. And a lot of fans are asking, okay, so Kostin comes in with the pedigree of the first-round pick, supposedly, quote-unquote, the best player in the draft, but slipped down to us, great. And so far, he's looked pretty good. The fight surprised me. I don't know about you guys, and I don't know if that was his way of saying, hey, I can play up here, I don't need the seasoning, whatever. But then you said, and I don't want to butcher his name, is it Blaise? Blaise?
Well, it's actually pronounced, it's Blaise. In Canada, he's a French Canadian.
Samuel Blaise.
Now they'll call him Blaise down here.
No. Let's fix it right now. It's Samuel Blaise. Okay, and then
so Blaise,
and then
Blaise of glory.
So I am French, and I fully understand it.
Okay, there you go. That's great. And then we've just discussed Thompson and what the benefits would be there, which in my not so professional opinion, the size thing, it would address a lot there. Now, social media is the beauty here, right? Now, who, and you know this, there's a lot of talk like, okay, this guy is sitting out there. He had 50-something points last year. How can a team with young players like this not benefit from calling Jaromir and saying, Mr. Jaromir? Oh, boy, here comes the grumbling.
No. Oh, God,
well,
no.
Here, I tell you what. I think Mr. Jaromir has earned the right to go around the table and everybody give their thoughts on – and you might have a great Jaromir story. So,
well, I got a couple of
them. I was going to say, no, seriously, though, you, I mean, is it realistic? Is it not even worth wasting a breath on? Would you like to see it? Would you prefer to go young? I mean, thoughts?
Well, personally, I would have liked to seen him in camp from the beginning. And that goes back to my statement just a couple minutes ago, which was every year you get older, it's harder to be back in shape and harder to get to the level you need to be. So, for him coming in on the tail end of it like this, are you really getting the Jaromir that is being advertised right now? Or are you getting a guy that 10 games from now is going to be struggling because the pace is too much, his body's shutting down, you know, all these things? And I know last year is last year, though, and year before is 2 years ago. Now, we have to focus on now, and we don't know where he's at physically. So that's why I would have liked him from the start of camp to see where he could go and if he's still – got it. And if he was playing well, especially with all this opportunity, he would have been on the power play. He would have been able to showcase all this stuff. He would have been able to earn a spot if he was able to. However, he also would have been able to, you know, not earn a spot either. So I think that's why the Blues were apprehensive of bringing him in. And also the apprehension has to be that they do have these young guys. They do have Kostin that they believed in tremendously and that we're selling to everybody saying this is a guy's the real deal. They do have bleh. And he has come in and done a great job. He's been fantastic.
Jaromir or bleh.
It's Jaromir or bleh.
Yeah.
Then Tage Thompson, another first-round pick that, you know, he's touted to be a great player. Where do you – and without a minor league team, okay, without the primary affiliate, what do you do for the development of Thompson, bleh, and Kostin?
Sure.
What do you do? Right, so you bring in Jaromir, now you're forced to get rid of one of these guys and send them to, well, I don't know where.
Yeah, well, whatever. Darren?
It's not even a good fit. And I believe he could get somewhere. Maybe, you know, Jaromir is going to go down as one of the best hockey players in the game.
Now, you're smiling, so why not a good fit? Well, I mean, it's almost like...
Because I've been sitting here telling you about... I hated Ryan Reeves leaving the team.
Okay.
I don't like Fabbri getting hurt because these are your physical part. Jaromir ain't going out and hitting no one. You know, you got lots of those guys that are here. You got the young guys
that are coming up. No, but he can put up the same points as Fabbri.
What's that? Yeah, but I'm not
easily.
But I think there's guys that can go in there, Ribs. And I'm not. Who's gonna muck these to get the pucks out of the corners?
There is no mucking. Kimby.
Oh yes, there is. No, I watched the playoffs last year.
Oh my God!
I watched a Pittsburgh team that
you
has
call that
third,
mucking?
Third and fourth. No, well, that's mucking nowadays.
Oh, but it was diet mucking.
Someone's got to go get the biscuit, guys. They just doesn't sit on the outside. I know that.
I agree. Obviously, I love the physicality of the game.
I'm not going even crazy physical, Ribs, but someone's got to go get it.
Yeah,
well, Nashville tried to,
but you don't
Nashville
have to go get it if you possess it.
But look what Nashville did. They roughed the Blues up in their series. You know, there was some banging, as much banging you're going to get.
There was.
I know where Lance is going to go with this. So before he answers and gives his take on Jágr, I'm going to ask both of you one question first. It's obvious, though, he's kind of a freak of nature, right? I mean, to be playing still this late, I mean, it's almost Tom Brady-esque, right? I mean, to some degree.
He's not no Tom Brady. He's not at that peak of his thing, though.
Now wait a minute.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
As soon as he said it, I knew you were going to perk up in your chair over there.
Tom Brady's throwing 5 touchdowns a game still. Jágr ain't doing that.
He had 50-something points last year in a league. In a league where 50-something points is pretty good.
Come on, Kimby. Give some credit here.
Give something here.
I do.
All right, here, let's try this.
One of the best players
played against
down the
damn guy.
One of the best players that will ever be in the game. I said that.
Jamie, let's try this. Jágr just signed with Winnipeg. They're winning the cup, right?
Good. No, they're not.
Oh, shit.
You know, Winnipeg gets
only
in.
I don't
know.
The way that I'm hearing them down there, they're going to be kneeling here pretty soon. They might not be able to play the game, so who cares about what the hell they're doing? Winnipeg. Blake Wheeler. Oh, yeah.
Kneeling?
Oh, yeah, kneeling.
Oh, fuck. Right. I'm not going down there.
We'll address that.
Here's the thing, though. Before Lance goes.
Because I know where he's going to go.
Lance goes, it would be worth the Blues' while to place a phone call. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And see what the demands are. See what's what he's looking at. See how he's doing. Get medical reports. It's never a bad idea to do your due diligence when you're in a time of need.
Wouldn't even waste my dime.
All right. Lance, there's one real issue that you brought up, I think, on social media.
Well, I keep bringing this up on social media. The Blues, last time I checked, had about 2.3 to 2.5 million salary cap made available. Jágr has told his agent, and I know this for a fact, that he wants anywhere between 4 and 5, a one-year deal. He wants to go to a contender, a team that has a chance to win the cup. Well, if everything falls in place for the Blues, they could be a contender for the cup, but it all has to fall in place for them. And I'm like Jamie, we've got these young guys. I would rather give a young guy a chance. Last year, Jágr scored 16 goals and 30 assists. He had 46 points. But I've watched him over these last playoffs. And if you watch him from just 2 to 3 years ago to last year, he is so slow. And especially when it gets to the playoffs, he is a zero factor in the playoffs. And I know you're not really getting him for the playoffs, but you can't.
Well, you are.
Yeah, you are. But
You are. Because that's a guy that you'd like to get a point a game out of on your power play. It's huge in the playoffs.
He played very well a couple years in the playoffs. But the last two playoffs, he looks just like an old man out there, and he can't keep up with it. Because you guys know what it's like.
He is an old man.
You get into the playoffs, and it's not regular season hockey. Everything is stepped up.
Everything
it's faster. The hits are harder. And I don't know if he's at that stage in his career at 45 where he can do that.
How old are you, Jamie?
42.
Hang on, he just took his flip-flops off.
42, I think.
All right, so you're 42. He's 45. Can you even imagine trying to play in an NHL game right now? Could you play him one?
In one game? Absolutely.
He can imagine it. Yeah, that's a great word there. Imagine.
In all honesty, here's the thing. If I was able to get myself into good enough condition, then obviously there's knowledge.
You'd be 50 years old by the time that happened.
Boy, oh boy.
That's a good point.
Roll today. That's what he's been doing over there all day. He's been lining up his zingers over there on his phone.
I wish we had this on camera. We could pan over to the freaking mouthpiece in the corner right now.
Hey, he's got a piece of paper over here nonchalantly writing stuff down. He's
what he was doing on his phone. Zingers for Jamie today.
I'm not going there right now, Kimby. But now, you know what? Yeah, could I play one game? Yeah, I could probably step in right now and play 7 to 10 minutes and not embarrass myself and actually be somewhat productive. Now, the next day, I probably have to be in the hospital.
Are you the backup goalie?
I've done that before. That's another story.
Let's write that one down.
I was an NHL backup goalie for a week.
I'm telling you right now.
That's a true story.
And that statement right there, I'm willing to bet we get some tweet badass going.
That's right.
I want to hear the story about when Jamie was the backup goalie.
Absolutely.
All right, so I think – so, hey, listen. So I guess the votes are going to be 2-2 only because – just from strictly nostalgic purposes, I'd like to see the guy in a blue note. I think it'd be kind of cool. But if you told me we were going to go with Thompson or Costin to fill the row or blah or whoever it is, I'd be fine with it. So either way, I'm good with it.
When we bring a guest into the room, your vote is nullified, kid. Oh, okay. You mean nothing anymore.
All right, here we go.
But here, I will say this. About a month ago, maybe a month and a half, I put it out there on Twitter that I thought they should sign him and bring him in. Now, that was before the emergence of Thompson and Costin.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Because I thought these kids are unproven. The potential, the P word, as I call it, is a very dangerous word.
Yes, it is.
Because you don't know really. It's like a box of chocolates, Kimby. You never know what you're going to get, right? You should know that one. And so.
I ate them with you.
Yeah. That's right. That was fun.
Jeez Louise.
So we don't know what we're getting in the young guys. And Jágr's a proven commodity, but now that I see the young guys that have emerged out of this training camp, I do feel like it would be almost counterproductive to bring in Jaromír Jágr.
Oh, wow.
As great
about
as
face.
As great as no, it's not an about
no,
face.
I know.
It's as great as he is, and as much as I do think he would help, and he would. So I'm not changing my stance on whether he'd help or not. I don't think he's the right fit for the Blues.
Would he sell some tickets?
For well, I'll tell you what would happen is the local casinos would go up in a lot of business.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
They would. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not afraid to spend 12, 14 hours in the casino throwing money around like he's going to the electric chair the
Bring
next day.
Bring him on. And my thing is, you know who was like that? We used to play a lot of blackjack and craps with Esatikin when he was here. Oh, we would see him at the
Ticky.
Casino Queen.
Guy who spoke seven languages but couldn't speak any one of them correctly.
You know what? I this sort of reminds me a little bit, and Riz was here when I know the man, but when Mike Keenan was here, he'd go and get this guy.
Fuck.
He would try to bring someone
there
in.
There it is. He's really out to get me
you know
today.
What I mean? He'd bring a guy in like this just for that. That's not what you're looking for right now.
No.
You got some young guys here. Let's go see what the hell they got. Yeah. It's a perfect opportunity for the Blues to see where their future is going, and I think the coaching staff is a young coaching staff which is ready to develop with these guys, and I think it would be a very productive thing just to go in that direction.
I agree.
A lot of fans
first
are,
time
a lot
I
of,
agree.
Write it down. Holy moly. A lot of fans excited about the play of Vladimir Tarasenko this season. I saw a report come out that he wants to get to 50 goals, so that's got fans all juicy thinking he's I don't know if maybe they believe that because he believes that it's going to ramp his game up to another level, whatever that may be. Your takeaway so far, I mean, again, what do you take away? It's preseason, but is the sky the limit for this guy? I'd say it is regardless of what he does in the preseason.
Here's my – preseason is nothing to Mr. Tarasenko, so let's get that straight. Mr. Tarasenko, as I'll sit here and say, and Jamie and we have said last year, probably the best proven goal scorer in the National Hockey League right now with the shot he's got. It is there. My question is – and I think we were on the was the last week's show when Jamie was talking about Scotty Bowman talking to Stevie Y.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the conversation Mr. Yo needs to have with him is says, do you want to win a Stanley Cup, Mr. Tarasenko? Because we need a little more out of you now. We need more out of you. And not just as the goal-scoring guy, we need more out of you. And I think that's where we need to go with Tarasenko because we know he can shoot the puck. Do we know if there's someone that's going to get him the puck? I don't know that yet. We're going to find that out. But
even with nobody getting in the puck the last couple of years, he's hovering around 40 goals.
But I want his drive to be a little bit more.
His drive, no shit. Halfway through the season, this guy, and I think the world of his talents, and I know the man, and I think he's a good guy. But you watch, and it doesn't, like, I've been around the game so long, and so have you, that you watch this guy, and if you had a time, one of those time lapses, you know, those cameras that you do. Yeah. And you watched it go to like halfway through the season, you'd start to see a guy that gradually kind of gets out of shape.
Yep.
And he puts, like, in my playing days, and I can't speak for Kimby, my playing days, I would drop 10 to 12 pounds in a season just because you get beat up, you get wore down, and the hardest thing in the world is to keep the weight on.
Yep.
Let alone put weight on, like, from where you started to gaining weight.
Well,
like, And then he drops again, and he's a different weight at training camp. But in the end of the season, and he's 10 pounds heavier than he was at the start of the season. And it's like,
that's a 22-pound swing.
That is.
But that's a bad fucking swing because, you know, you need his best hockey to close out the season in the postseason. That's where you need him to have the most energy, the most impact on the game. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it was a staff thing or a trainer thing or a weight guy thing or a nutritionist, however it is, they're not on the same page with Mr. Tarasenko. And unfortunately, he's digressing as the season goes on. And then by the time he gets to the playoffs, he can't handle that tight checking. He can't handle the guy all over him. All he needs to do is dedicate himself in that way. And I'm telling you what, he will be the 40 to 50 goal scorer yearly if he can wrap his brain around dedicating himself for that 8-month slot of hockey season.
Yeah, and I'd seen an interview with him, and maybe he's trying to get ahead of that a little bit because he knows he gains weight and gets a little bit slower. He said before camp he had lost 10 to 15 pounds to be a little bit quicker.
He did the same last year, though. So,
yeah,
he came in 7 pounds lighter than the previous training camp, ended up 12 pounds heavier by the end of the year.
Well, he needs to cut it off somewhere. He's got to get that back to where he needs to be because you are right. You can watch him ever since he came into this league. And those first 30, 40 games, he's just all over the place. And by game 55, 60, he does look a little pudgier in the middle, and he doesn't have that burst to get to that puck. He just doesn't. So like you said, something's got to give. The trainer's got to get with him, or you know, he's got to stop eating borscht or whatever he eats. You know,
it has nothing to do with his talents.
No,
because he's still a fantastic player. It's just, I think it's still maturity.
Yeah.
You know, like you get some older guys, and I've been through this before where you get guys halfway through their careers decide that, holy crap, this isn't working. And they turn the corner and dedicate themselves to training and nutrition and doing things the right way. And he's got to get ahead of that game. He can't be halfway through his career and do it. He's got to do it now because he has the opportunity to be, you know, this era of the Blues, one of their most prolific goal scorers.
Does he have the makeup ribs? I don't know the man from a hole in the wall. I know who he is on the ice, but does he have the makeup if someone confronts him? Say if you're or Berube, or now that these guys are in here, and they go up and say, "Hey, we need more of you. We need what's his reaction to it?" Because I know a lot of players that I've seen in their time, like a Jeremy Roenick, like a Holly, like a Chelios, Belfour. These guys, if you challenged them, they were going to respond and they were going to stick it up your ass. The coach. Now, if I come to him, does the guy go, yeah, or what does he do?
You know, he's a real competitive guy by nature, so he's the kind of guy like, you know, we were probably as kids. I know I was. I'm sure you were. You know, you play checkers and you want to win so badly that you can't even imagine losing. So he actually has that personality of wanting to win. Now, he doesn't necessarily like to be told what to do, and that's where he and Hitch had a bit of a problem too, because Hitch kept harping on him to play that 200-foot game, and Vladdy wanted to play, you know, 150 feet.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think if it's approached the right way by Mike Yeo, maybe he goes through Craig Berube, because Chief is a great guy. He's got a way. He's been through the ringer. He knows how to handle guys. Maybe he goes to him and says, hey, why don't you take him out for coffee or lunch and have a talk with him, or meet him down in the lobby at the hotel and have a coffee or a beer. Who cares, you know? And sit there and tell him, hey, look, you have the potential of doing all this stuff. I need you to dedicate yourself. The team needs you. You need you. Your wife needs you to do this. Your kids need you to dedicate yourself to this.
St. Louis needs you to do it.
Well, yeah, but you know, you try to hit on some of the hot buttons, right? So that he can wrap his brain around and look at it as a positive thing and not like you're sitting there trying to kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's to me, that's the only way you could do it based on his personality. He doesn't have that screw you mentality. I'll get in shape and I'll rule the world.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of that don't tell me what to do.
Well,
you know, that kind of.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you said, I think if you make it personal to him and make it about his family, doing something with his family.
He's very family oriented, for sure.
Yeah. Turn it into something to have to do with his family and say, hey, you know, if can you get that extra step? We need you to, not just for us, but for your wife and kids. It's going to mean so much more to them to see you accomplish these things. And you may hit a button with him or something.
You know, I've handed Jamie a
spit it out
a piece of paper to do his new roster, because our new lineup.
Rouster.
A distant relative of the rooster.
I want his new lineup because now with Fabry out, I want to see what he's got and where he's going to go with this.
So we're going actively here without Steen and without Fabry, without all the injured guys.
Without Berglund.
Hang on a second.
Thank God.
Wait a minute. You're the insider here. You're supposed to know who's going to be ready to go on opening night.
Well, then they won't be ready to go.
I want your opening night lineup. Now, while you're doing that, I want to say that I don't know if all of our listeners out there caught this or not, but that was an unbelievable conversation about Tarasenko and all that. The one thing I picked up out of that is that all I need to do is play three seasons in the NHL and I can get down to my desired weight. So how do I get a contract? Because I need to lose about 36 pounds in three seasons at 12 pounds a season.
Yeah, but Cromes, you actually have to be moving and doing something over those 3 years.
All right, I'm out.
Jesus, not just getting back in line at the Golden Corral.
No, I can't do it then, so I'm out. But I really could use the 36 pounds down, so anyway.
If your feet would move as fast as your lips, you'd probably get down pretty quick.
Oh, boy. Man,
you guys keep that between yourselves, okay?
Kimby's been over here waiting to say that for about 10 minutes.
I'm telling you, that's what he was doing the whole first 10 minutes of the show. He was over there, the old Google machine, zingers. I'm going to get on these boys today.
Oh, it's too easy sometimes.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, you know, the one guy we didn't talk about that you wrote down that I know you like is Vince Dunn.
I love him. I mean, yep. This guy has been, last year, he had a good growing, maturing season in the American Hockey League. And then this year, so far in preseason, when I watch him, he's got jump in his game. He moves the puck well. He plays physical. He's solid in his own end. Not too many turnovers. He doesn't find himself on the wrong side of the puck. And you know, I look for all of these things because those are things that I had to get so much better at to jump into the NHL. And to me, he's had a better training camp than Walman has. He's been the guy that I think he will start the season here. He'll be here. And I think if it comes down to, you know, a coin toss between him and Walman, I think he's more ready than Walman is right now.
Here's the question, though. So you want to go on defense. Here's the question for you. So you lose Bomeister. Who's a young kid that can step in? Because Perico, Petrangelo are going to eat a lot of minutes. But who's going to eat the other minute? Who's going to eat those minutes? Because a rookie comes in, Rives, and you've been a rookie before. A lot of rookies come in, and they don't really get 20 minutes right out of the gate, 25 minutes out of the gate. Do we got those guys that can take those minutes?
Well, it'll be by committee initially, right? So you're not going to just turn and say, okay, you're the new Jay Bomeister, and you're getting 20 minutes a game. That's just not going to happen. So you'll rotate guys in and out of there, and you'll have your Gunnarssons.
Oh, boy.
You'll have Bortuzzo. You got your, you know, Edmondson and Parayko, and you have Petrangelo with player X, right? Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is, like when I started, when Chris McAlpine and I were in the lineup, and we rotated in and out throughout the game of being Al MacInnis's partner or Chris Pronger's partner. So there was no set partners in the game. The only two guys I think that were set partners were Bergevin and at the time Todd Gill, and then it became Berge and Rudy Poshek. The third pairing, we'll call it, was set at that, and the top two pairings weren't set. You'd rotate in and out to make sure that you had these young guys getting their feet wet, getting the important minutes, but they're with an all-star caliber hockey player, and that's the only way I think you can break it up and get these guys into the fold and make sure that they're, you know, they're playing at good minutes with a solid guy who's not going to get them in trouble.
Yeah, they weren't giving them 20 minutes. They were giving them 8 minutes, 10 minutes a game, getting a couple guys in there to get their feet wet, to get them used to playing the game, and that's the best way to do it. You've got to do it that way.
Well, while Jamie's finishing his lineup here, I want to welcome in, we do multiple shows here around. We do a lot of crossover, obviously, with having Lance here today. We want to promote the drop. So real quick, while he's finishing that out, tell our listeners where they can find the drop, Lance.
You guys can find The Drop on Twitter at @OfficialTheDrop. You can also find our website at droppodcast.com. You can also email us at theofficialdrop@gmail.com. And that's all the ways you can get in contact with us. Like he said, we have a show after each Blues game. We break down the game, go over the goals, have opinions, look to the next game. We have some spots in there where we're looking at other things going around in the NHL that maybe has to do with the Blues, such as what's going on in the Central Division. So we tried to get a lot of that done, but we just want to make sure that we keep that platform to where maybe you didn't get to see the game completely, or maybe you haven't had a chance to watch it. and we have the goals. You can listen to them and go over and get comments and a full breakdown of the game. And it's just great to be part of Lineup Media and to be here with you guys today.
Well, we appreciate you coming in. Got a gentleman here to my left that another crossover show. Do the Two Birds on a Bat, the Cardinal podcast, and I know most Blues fans cross over into Cardinal territory and vice versa. And the seasons, you know, a lot of fans feel like hockey season doesn't start till baseball season's over. Some diehard people say, I don't care what – but the bottom line is our Cardinals took a big hit last night, and their playoff hopes keep diminishing. But there's one guy that will never say die until it's over, almost with that hockey player mentality, and that's Benji Molina. You guys know him as a former coach here with St. Louis, obviously 13-year Major League veteran. Obviously, Yachty's brother and the crossover there. Yachty's everybody's favorite Blues fan when he shows up. It's Scott Trader. Everybody likes it. Hey, Benji, welcome into the Blues NHL podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, Benji. Nice. Pleasure.
Hey, I want, by the way, I love hockey. I don't know. I might not understand it, you know. no, fully. You know, like you guys, it can go to you know, like plays or something like that. But I can understand most of it. But and Yachty loves it. And by the way, yesterday his son, Yanuel, he was playing with the hockey stick, and he was playing, you know, against the wall with the baseball, you know. So just so like you know, it. And he was wearing a blue shirt. So I mean,
tell Yachty get his son, give him a call, give me a call. We'll get him out to some hockey lessons. We'll get him started.
And I'm gonna tell him that.
Absolutely.
And he does love it. It's serious. It's no joke. And I bet you anything, Yanuel knows more than me.
Hey, well, tell him not to worry about it. I don't know anything about it, and I'm on a Blues NHL podcast.
Who knows anything?
You know, the fans do love it when your brother shows up at the rink and he drops the puck and he wears the jersey. The crossover between athletes, you know, you go to a baseball game and they appreciate the fact that you're there. I know Darren's a baseball guy too, likes football, a lot, things like that. But for the most
part,
not any. Oh boy, yeah, we're
good. Here we go.
You know, we said we'd at least touch on that today.
Keep talking though. You're with it.
I know. I was gonna say. You know, Benji, you're. We wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about what you guys are trying to do. I mean, we talk about our country and all the crazy stuff going on, the kneeling, not kneeling. But the bottom line is, we got a real problem in Puerto Rico right now. Your hometown. You know, your home island there. You guys are doing something amazing. So are a lot of other athletes in support of that. But we wanted to give you an opportunity to tell all the Blues fans out there, if they want to try to help out with something you and Yachty are doing, what they can do.
Well, first of all, it's you're right. It's very, very, a very tough situation. We thought it was very tough, and finally we got in touch with our family, and we knew that it was double, triple that. You know, they're having a really hard time. They don't have power yet. They don't have water. Supplies. The supplies are in containers, but the drivers of the trucks decided to go on strike on this deal.
Oh my God!
Right now, so
terrible.
Just to get money. That's how bad it is over there. And you know, the lucky thing is that here the president sent the National Guard, and you know, I think they're gonna drive their trucks. You know, so the guys are gonna lose their jobs. But anyway, they didn't want to do it anyway. So. It is a crisis. This is really bad. You can donate to Foundation for the number 4, and that's Yachty's foundation. Also, there's a GoFundMe up there, and it's everywhere. You don't have to use Yachty. I mean, there's guys out there. Beltran is doing it. There's a bunch of players doing the stuff. You know, Marc Anthony, J Lo, they have their own. So all you have to do is Google how to help. Puerto Rico, and I'm sure you're gonna find it. But it's a really, really serious stuff.
Well, I tell you what, I know that Jim here will put it. We will help Yachty's Foundation just because, obviously, St. Louis guy and such a huge part of our community. But Jim will put it out on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on our website, everywhere, so that they can go and help the Puerto Rican people try to get back on their feet. And yeah, it's just such a trying time, right? You guys are going through, the Puerto Rican people are going through so much right now, and you know, they could use our help. And
but
why not?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the hardest thing for us is that we can do it. I mean, when you lose your house, we as Yachty, me, my brother, we can go out and say, okay, let's buy wood, mm-hmm. let's buy these, let's get a house going. Mm-hmm. Those people, they live paycheck by paycheck,
sure.
And it's not much. So when they lose their house, it's everything to them. And not only that, they have a couple of kids. So, I mean, it makes
it hard.
Worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's different than up here when Harvey hit and when it also hit the Florida Keys and everything. Because a lot of people in the U.S., they can go to a different part of the United States. Puerto Rico's an island. You're stuck on an island.
And that's where you live.
Yeah, that's where you live. You can't go and visit somebody 100 miles away. You know, it's they're stuck there, and there's not much they can do.
Yes, sir.
Well, Benji, we're going to make sure to get that out. We want to thank you just for stopping in for a second. I know we'll be finishing up here in a few minutes, and for all those crossover fans, you'll be able to hear the Two Birds on a Bat podcast. And I hope the fans are enjoying that can understand it a little bit. Even if you don't understand Spanish, your Spanish broadcast for the Cardinals are very exciting. So
it's obviously for the Hispanic population.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, we're trying to touch them. The more that we touch, the better, right?
Sure.
So
that's what Jamie says anyway all the time. No. I mean, we did talk about Hugh Hefner today and his passing. But, no, hey, thank you so much for being, and I look forward to chatting with you here shortly on Two Birds on a Bat.
Got it.
Thanks for being by, bud.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Very great having you here.
Well, I know we're getting ready to lose. We're almost done with the show. And Jamie, I know you got to go. So before we go, or you're heading out of here, right?
Oh, yeah, I got to go.
So I'm gonna go through this this lineup here real fast with the fellas. Hey, thank you so much for your support. Synergy Hockey, by the way. Anything you want to hit on Synergy Hockey for this? I know we're going to get the youth report going here in 2 weeks once we get rolling. But anything you want to touch on real fast?
Just that we're up and running with fall lessons. So you got 12 weeks left of this, and it's small group sessions, two players to one coach. And to me, it's the best way to accelerate your young hockey players' development is getting that real hands-on teaching and instruction. We've got 6 days of the week we're doing lessons out at the St. Louis Mills Ice Zone. And if you get on the website, take a look. We have spots that are still open. So sign up, get your kids out there, and let's continue to grow the sport of hockey here in lovely St. Louis.
All right. Well, you get out of here. Well, thank you. Which one am I going with here? Is this year's lineup here?
The top one is a coach's version where you're scratching guys in, scratching guys out. And the bottom one here with the guys on the side, or they're not a factor, but the bottom one here is the actual lineup that I would go with.
Okay, so you're going to give me – this is what you think the coach will do, this is what you would do.
No, that's what I think will be ultimately.
Oh, okay.
This one here was just me kind of
I see what you're doing there. Okay.
The stuff here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was scratched a lot, so I understand that. So, okay. All right, so, hey, thanks for coming in, Jamie. Thanks for the Hugh Hefner story, by the way, the highlight of the show.
It's my pleasure.
I would have expected nothing less. I know Darren didn't either, and Lance as well.
Darren was busy on his phone.
I know. He's been having a good time with us. Okay, so let's
– a prayer for him.
So as we wind down the show, let's do this real quick. So I guess if you're going to – and you rolled these out 1, 2, 3, 4, right? This is first line, second – okay.
That's in chronological order.
All right,
and
this
chronological,
is good stuff.
Jim, what it means
I know
is
what
it's
it
in
means.
Order from 1
I know
to 4.
Cromes, you're one of those fans that it's got to be one line, two line.
No,
we're
I'm
a hockey team
fans,
here.
God. All right. No, I just – all right, so your first line is center Stasny with Tarasenko and Sobotka. You're going to go Tarasenko and Sobotka.
Yeah, you got to have somebody get the puck for that.
Second line.
You just told me this game doesn't involve that anymore.
What the hell is that all about?
You're not going to let the guy leave.
Get back on your phone.
All right, here we go. So we got Braden Schenn with Mr. Schwartz on the left side. And everybody's been asking about this gentleman. You are going to go ahead and put Kostin on the right with those players. Third line, Tage Thompson. You're going to go with the size. Barbashev on his left. I know everybody likes his two-way game in the room here. And, you got a lot of young. Bleh makes his debut opening night on the right side with Tage Thompson. And then you've got a fourth line. Obviously, Brodziak makes his familiar start there. Everybody's going to welcome in Mr. Did I say this? Thornburn? Is it Thornburn?
Thorburn.
No, Thorburn.
Now you're starting to sound like Kimby.
All right, Thorburn. I know. Gee, man, it's Zinger City here. Thorburn, and then you can't decide between Megan or Bennett on the left side.
No, well, you got a healthy scratch,
sure.
Right? That
sure.
Has it in the
okay.
Lineup. So
yep.
You can, and you can take Bennett, and you could probably put him in over where Blais is going to be.
Blais, yeah.
Where he's going to be, too, because I think Megan, Bennett, and Blais will be interchangeable
between
the third and fourth line and the healthy scratch.
Wow. Your defense. You're not messing around. He's going
now. Bennett's going down early, though, don't you? If he clears waivers here for a while.
But, yeah, he'll be an option. Now with Fabry being out for the whole season,
yep.
They'll probably keep him around as a healthy scratch since they're paying him a one-way contract anyway.
Correct.
Defense, this is surprising. You're gonna put Dunn with Petro, huh?
Well, just like we just discussed, we can rotate Dunn and Wallman in and out of that
okay.
spot. And even within that lineup, you can rotate Edmondson in and out with – with Dunn, and you can, you know, Gunnarsson, you can drop them up and down as the game goes.
Well, you got Parayko with Edmondson, Gunnarsson, and Bartuzzo with Wall being the third, and then obviously Jake Allen. Does any of this play in, especially the defense, play into the fact that we're probably going to see what, guys, about 10 power plays a game?
Well, the game has
maybe
changed.
12.
So
maybe
you got
12.
You got Dunn, you've got Parayko, you got Petro. I mean, even it's a stretch, but you have Edmondson who can put in some time, but Waldman is another puck distributor as well. So
see how the guy won't leave because he knows Kimball's going to destroy his lineup here.
Well, that's usually how it works. As soon as I leave the room, you know, the Ginsu 2000.
What do you think? Any complaints?
I know where Riz is going. He's giving you something to get salivating around, but that lineup means nothing to me right now. Once we get going the season, I'll see what these players are all about.
Oh, the analyzer.
I know what he's doing. I appreciate him doing that.
You've got to project.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, once I see these guys.
You have to project sales.
Once I see the first 10 games, then I'll give you a lineup.
Well, I only have one disagreement with him.
We got a disagreement. What are you going with, Lance?
I'm moving Shin to the first line center and Stasny as the second line center.
Won't happen.
Nah, I won't have you hear won't that. Happen. You got shot down. Hey, now you know what I feel like in here every week, Lance. Just shot down.
You know what I got?
It
won't happen.
What do you got, Kimby?
I got Jake Allen in net. That's what I got. So there we're going to go right there.
I'm going to back up my.
Hey, Jamie, it may not happen now, but it's going to happen.
No, it won't happen. The reason it won't happen is because Tarasenko needs somebody to distribute the puck. Braden Schenn is a hell of a player. He scores goals. He's not the guy to distribute the puck solely to his right. Left-handed shot, Stasny. Easier to send it to the right wing,
Tarasenko. That's a good point. Yeah, that's
and
a good
he passes
point.
Really well.
Hey, so. We're two episodes into the start of the season. We've gotten a Winnipeg Jets reference last week. You got to take care of Winnipeg. And we've gotten a Jake Allen reference.
I don't like Winnipeg anymore.
I'm going to leave it on this note right here because I know Kimby's foaming at the mouth to get into this one.
Okay.
Is what about the Winnipeg Jets talking about kneeling for the national anthem?
And how'd he go? Well, you see how he runs out on the controversial stuff? All right, so we will.
Peace, sum up. See you later, buddy.
See you, buddy. I don't even know if it's best for us to even get into this. It's probably not. I'm not going to get into it. I
watch people
you
making
can't
fools
win.
Of themselves. So
you can't win this
I'm
one.
I'm going to stay sane here.
Yep, you can't win this one, so I'm not going to get into it. I'll tell you what, great show today, though.
Yep.
How can a show not be great that starts off with a Hugh Hefner story? I mean, I just don't know.
I like how you've referenced it, though, to hockey player. The whole world was putting the posters
up. Well, but this is a hockey show. I mean, I'm going to talk about it on the Cardinals show.
Yeah, kids watching the show, or listening to the show, and you're doing that nonsense.
Yeah, but you know our buddy Bartling. I mean, every young kid I know is introduced
Bartling.
To a...
Yeah, Bartling. There's only one Bartling in the world, my friend. Let's
Whenever,
get that straight.
The greatest guy in the world, salt of the earth guy, no doubt about it. But for all of us, when your son is born... immediately shows up at your house a year subscription to Playboy the year your son's born. Every one of us for 1 year he would buy a year subscription for your son. Just great stuff. And I think for every one of us, I don't know that the subscriptions ever got saved for our kids. I think the dad took advantage of them, but good stuff. Lance, great having you here. I love the crossover, and we're happy to reciprocate.
Great.
I'll give you Darren's number. You can call him anytime. He's always got a nice opinion, but especially if you want to talk about Winnipeg, although I know he's off them now, so
no,
that's good. But it's a lot of fun. Glad to have you. And again,
great to be here.
You know the Blues fans, as we all know in this town, they can use as much information as we want to give them, as they will eat it up with a spoon. And we're going to do a lot of cool things for you guys this year. I know when the season gets going here, we should have a lot of our partners on board. The Nelsons, I know. Speaking of Nelson Landscaping and nelsonlandscaping.com, and we want to make sure you guys check that out. And like I said, we'll have some stuff put together for when the season gets going. Their boy's doing okay at McKendree. I see he's got some goals, assists already early in the year. Good for him.
Second game, he's player of the game, but he's scoring every game. And we're up in, where were we at? Columbus. And I know the parents were watching it on the computer. They're streaming it to him. So, he's off and running. First year up there, good experience. He's getting away from home here, so it's a good moving time for the kid.
How's mom and dad doing with one of the birds away from the
nest? Oh, no, they're good. They're good. It's
hands full with the younger one, too, anyway.
And he's not
right?
far away, and the young one's keeping him busy. Both young ones are good. The daughter's playing hockey, too, they're on the go all the time.
They're a hockey family, and I butchered the website. It's nelsonlandservices.com, not Nelson Landscaping. But, again, we'll have a nice little spot put together for them. All we ask, just check out nelsonlandservices.com for any landscaping project you may have. They do a lot of huge projects, but, give them a call. They're happy to take a look at anything you want. They're professional landscaping at reasonable cost.
5-star locally rated landscaping company. The best part of this thing is if you really want to support the Blues community, they're doing this because they appreciate youth hockey in St. Louis, and that's why we always mention them during the youth hockey segment, which we'll have up and running here in a couple weeks. But, you know, we just did want to tell them thank you, and to the boss, as I was reminded to that everybody should know who the boss really is in the whole thing, as it typically is at any household in America. Great to have them on board again this year, and encourage you again, bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's our website. It's where you'll find the show. It's where you can subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter. We are at STL Blues Podcast. Find us on Facebook by simply typing in Blues NHL Podcast. And same on Instagram as we jump into that as well, Blues NHL Podcast. For Jamie Rivers, for Darren Kimble, my producer, Andrew Allen, and special thanks again one more time to Lance for coming in from The Drop. Great show. Again, takes a lot of dedication, a lot of hours to put out a show immediately following a Blues game. And I don't know how he does. The day I met him, he left, and he met with everybody here at lineupmedia.fm, and he walked out of the room, and I said, knowing what we do just to get a show out that covers a week, I don't know how he does it. So hats off to him, and I hope you guys check him out. It's definitely worth your time if you're a Blues fan, for sure. For everybody here at Blues NHL Podcast, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. We will see you at Scott Trade.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.